We're at the bottom of the Yamud, where we learned the last time we met about a cheirishot of a katan. Ein motziyan asarab midei chavasan. A cheirishot and a katan are not able to be the ones to perform the mitzvah on behalf of other people. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kol she'ena b'chuyim b'davar. Sorry? Kol she'ena b'chuyim b'davar. Whoever is not obligated to do a given mitzvah. Ein motziyan asarab midei chavasan. So just before we get into the next part of the Gemara, why is anybody else ever doing a mitzvah for you? Why don't you do the mitzvah for yourself? What does this mean? Anyone who's not a b'chuyi b'davar, anyone who's not obligated to do a mitzvah, is eni motzi yasachem midei chavasan. Do the mitzvah yourself. Why would you even think of a katan doing it on your behalf, or a shota doing it on your behalf, or a cheresh doing it on your behalf? Why don't you do the mitzvah on your own? So this gets us to a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Gimel, where the Gemara tells us a very important halacha. I forgot to put the beginning of the shir on here, but you'll trust me. So the beginning of the shir goes as follows. We have a Gemara in Brachos where the Gemara says that when you have on Matzoi Shabbos, so you have an obligation to make Havdalah. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan ha'yoshvim be'beis ha'medrash. So you have everybody, all the Talmidim in the yeshiva are sitting in the Beis Medrash, and on Matzoi Shabbos, ve'heviu ur lifnehem. So they bring the candle for everybody to make bari ma'ari ha'esh. So now what do you do? Beis Shammai, Yomim Beis Shammai says, Kal echad ve'echad mevarech le'atzmo. They pass around the besamim, and they pass around the candle, and each person makes their own bari mina besamim, each person makes their own bari ma'ari ha'esh. Beis Hillel, Yomim Beis Hillel says, what are you talking about? Echad mevarech le'kulam. One should make the bracha on behalf of all those who are present. Why? Because Beis Hillel says, the famous principle, Mishum Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk in Mishnei, Berovam Hadras Melech. Since you have a lot of people who have to perform the same mitzvah at the same time, may as well have one person do it on behalf of everybody instead of having each individual person do it on their own. So the Gemara asks, Bishlema Beis Shammai Mefarshi Taima. Beis Hillel tells us the reason why they said that one person should make on behalf of everyone, because Berovam Hadras Melech. So what is the opinion of Beis Shammai? Does Beis Shammai not agree with the principle of Berovam Hadras Melech? So the Gemara says, of course he agrees, but the only difference is, here the case is a little bit different, because here we're talking about Mipnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash. Not talking about a group of people who have to do a mitzvah at the same time, we're talking about a group of people who otherwise would be learning. They're in the Beis Medrash together. And now the question is, should we stop the learning and get everybody quiet and then say, everybody focus your attention on the one person who's going to make the Bari Mari HaEsh? Or is it better that we waste less time, because till we get everybody quiet, until all the pandemonium calms down, why not pass the candle around, says Beis Shammai, and have each person make the Bari Mari HaEsh on their own, because we don't want to waste the time of the people who are learning. This is basically what the Gemara says, and what you see from here is, what emerges is, that whether you learn like Beis Shammai or whether you learn like Beis Hillel, everybody agrees there's this concept of Berov HaMadras Melech. The only question is it worth it that the factor of Berov HaMadras Melech should even take away from somebody's learning Torah? Is that how important it is? Or do you say, no, Berov HaMadras Melech is only when we're all just sitting around waiting for Havdalah. But when we're all sitting around and learning, and it's going to stop us from learning to go do the Berov HaMadras Melech, in a case like that, we would not say that Berov HaMadras Melech has precedence. That's the basic question that the Gemara deals with there. That's the machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And because Beis Hillel is of the opinion that Berov HaMadras Melech goes before, that takes precedence even to Talmud Torah, therefore the Magen Avraham writes, both in Tafresh Pei Tes, as well as in Tafresh Tzadi, the Avraham writes, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, Lava LeBeis HaKnesses LeMikra Megillah. We are Mevatl Talmud Torah to come together to read the Megillah all as one. Even though it would take much less time if I had a Balkorei, it would come to my house, lay in the Megillah just to me, I wouldn't have to sit and wait for all the Hamans when everybody's making so much noise, I don't have to wait till the Chazan gets quiet, till we finish all together. Why do I have to waste so much time? I would be learning otherwise. So if I'm just wasting time otherwise, so okay. But if I would have been learning otherwise, why am I wasting the time from learning? Says the Magen Avraham, because we paskin like Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that when we say Berov HaMadras Melech is something that's important, that means it even takes precedence to Talmud Torah. And that's why the Magen Avraham writes that we're Mevadlin Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes as well. Let's say you have a Talmud Chacham who's sitting and learning in his house, wherever it is, and instead of sitting and learning, he goes ahead, he has to go daven in shul. But he has two options of where he can daven in shul. He can daven at the shtiebel downstairs in his basement. What does every Talmud Chacham do? Opens a shtiebel. So, right, so he has a shtiebel in his basement. How many people come to the shtiebel? Well, the next door neighbor also has a shtiebel, so he only has, he's scraping a minion. He has 10 people for his minion. But he's going to waste no time because he's going to go down right when they're ready to start the davening. He's going to come back up right when they're finished with the davening. So he's not going to waste any time from learning. On the other hand, he can walk 2 blocks away to the big shul, right? To the big shul, he can walk 2 blocks away and get a bigger minyan. So the Mishnah Brura writes, Berovam Hadras Melech Dikas, that he should go to the bigger shul, even though the shtibel downstairs is more convenient, and even though it will waste less of his time from learning, and he's such a taroso menoso, he doesn't waste a minute from his learning without a good excuse. This is a good excuse, says the Mishnah Brura. It's better for him to go to the shul down the block, which is a bigger shul, because Berovam Hadras Melech, when you say the Chazaras Hashatz with more people present, that's also a function of the mitzvah of Berovam Hadras Melech. Let's say the Minchas Chinuch has a famous discussion. Would you say that the din of Shomea Ka'ona, a famous halachic principle of Shomea Ka'ona, if I listen to somebody else doing something, it's as if I said it myself? So the Minchas Chinuch famously discusses this in Mitzvah Yud. What about by the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Can I apply the principle of Shomea Ka'ona to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Can one person on behalf of the whole family say the Haggadah, obviously with everybody listening? Or do you say, no, each person should say it on their own? So that's the question. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, when he discusses it, says it's adif, it's better for the balabas, for whoever it's going to be, the father or the mother or whoever is in charge in the home, they should be the one to do the Haggadah on behalf of everyone. Why? Because Berovam Hadras Melech, you have a whole group of people, a whole family together, everybody has to perform the mitzvah. So Berovam Hadras Melech would mean that it's better for one person to do it on behalf of everyone while everybody's listening and paying attention, as opposed to each person doing it on their own. So this is a principle that we find all over the place. The problem is, let's say you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzitzis, so the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have Shnayim or Shlosha Mis'atvim B'talis Ke'echad, let's say you come to shul in the morning, everybody comes to shul 10 minutes early, with enough time to put on your talis and tefillin before davening starts. So the Shulchan Aruch says, imagine such a case, which is not the case now, but imagine you have such a thing, where everybody comes to shul so early that they're all putting on the talis and tefillin at the same time. Kula Mevarchim, says the Mechaber, each person makes their own bracha on the talis, even though we're all doing it at the same time, and each person makes their own bracha on the tefillin. V'imratzu, however, if they want, echad mevarech v'acherim yanu amen. If they want, says the Mechaber, you can do it the other way. You can have one person make the bracha on the talis on tefillin, and everybody will listen. So the Vilna Gaon jumps on the Mechaber there. He says, what do you mean, if they want? That's the more preferable way to do it. If you live in a shul where everybody comes on time, and everyone's there at the same time before davening starts, and we have a chance where one person can make the bracha on the talis and tefillin on behalf of everyone, that's much better than each person making it on their own. Why? Because Berovam Hadras Melech, says the Vilna Gaon, I don't understand why the Mechaber writes what he says. Why does he only say, like, oh, b'di'evit, if you want one person to make for everybody, that's good enough, but otherwise, everybody should make on their own. Where does the Mechaber get that from? If the assumption is Berovam Hadras Melech is a very important factor, then why all of a sudden does the Mechaber shy away from such an idea? Anyway, there's a question, and later on Achronim, where do we apply the principle and where do we not? Do we say that it's better to have Berovam Hadras Melech for every bracha you're ever going to make, or do we say no? Nowadays we have problems concentrating. We all have issues with our concentration. We're not able to concentrate as well as we should, and therefore maybe it's better that everybody should make their own brachas nowadays, but that's for a side factor. Not that Berovam Hadras Melech isn't important, it is. But if a person's not going to be able to pay attention, then it's better for you to make the bracha on your own than to try to pay attention to somebody else and not catch all the words. Somebody wrote to me an interesting email. I gave a shiur for the women the last 2 weeks on tefillah. So the women asked that we should have a shiur on priorities in tefillah and what's more important, less important. So I thought it was important that before we talk about the halachos of tefillah, we should first talk about perspectives on tefillah, give a little bit of a background as what tefillah is all about. So I was giving a shiur about what kind of kavanas we should have and what we should think about different portions of the davening. So somebody sent me an email that he very much enjoyed this year, and then he says to me, I'm just wondering, you know, you spoke a lot about what you should be thinking about during the Shemona Esrei and during different parts of davening. I'm just wondering, so what should I be thinking about during the Chazaras Hashatz? Now that's a very Erlich HaShayla. That's a really Erlich question. I think most people assume I shouldn't be thinking about anything Chazaras Hashatz. It's a miracle if I'm not thinking about or on my phone or doing all the other things I shouldn't be doing. So now somebody's going, he's a real tzaddik we have in this community, he's going and asking, what should I be thinking about during Chazaras Hashatz? And the answer is, Chazaras Hashatz is the opportunity for all of us to daven as a tzibur, and therefore we should be thinking about the same thing we're thinking during the Shemona Esrei itself. But again, we have problems concentrating. That's what the Mishnah Brura already writes, the Chayyadim writes the same thing. Unfortunately, we don't have an attention span like we should, and that's why you find that people during Chazaras Hashatz are not able to pay attention through the whole thing. It's not right, but that's what it is. At least they shouldn't be talking. At least only disturb yourself, don't disturb other people. Sit in your own phone instead of talking to somebody else. You know, that you won't concentrate, but because we have issues with our concentration, that's why Nowadays, a lot of times we have shied away from this idea of one person making a bracha on behalf of everybody else, because we have issues concentrating. It's not so easy for us to concentrate throughout the entire Berachas Hamazon for all of us to listen to one person bench. It's easier for us, for each person, to do it on their own and to try to say the words without making any mistakes. So, the premise of our Gemara starts that if you want one person to do it on behalf of everyone, then you have to have somebody who's a mechuyev bedaber. If you want that one person, we should say that shomei ka'oneh, if you want that one person should do it on behalf of everyone because b'rovam hadras melech, the only way that's doable is if the person that you're choosing to put up as the chazan, as the balkore, as whoever it's going to be, he should be somebody who's a bar chayuvo. He should be somebody who's as obligated as I am in the mitzvah that we're about to do. Now, that would follow, if you follow that logic, the problem is that I would have said that that would only be somebody who has an obligation to do the mitzvah. So, for example, we come to shul on Purim night, and we all have to lay in the Megillah. So you'll say, you can put one person up who's obligated to lay in the Megillah, and he can lay in on behalf of all of us. Great. What happens now? That person already laying the Megillah in the shul, an unbelievable balko, right? But now there's a chol in the hospital. So what right does that person have to go ahead and lay in on behalf of the chol in the hospital? After all, you're no longer a mechuyev bedaber. You're not obligated anymore to do the mitzvah. You did it already. So this logic should follow. If it's correct, what our Mishnah says, that the principle is that whenever you have somebody who's a mechuyev bedaber, he can be chosen as the one to perform the mitzvah on behalf of all of us, then that should follow, that should reason, that if you have somebody who already performed the mitzvah and is no longer a mechuyev bedaber because he did it already, there should be no reason for that person to be able to go ahead and perform the mitzvah again for somebody else. And that's why our Gemara, the very next statement in our Gemara, is, if you look at the bottom of the page, the Gemara says, where are we up to? Look at the bottom of the page, second to last line. Tani Ava Berei Dirav Zera, Kala Brachas Kulan, Afal Pisha Yatza Motzi. We have a principle, even though it defies the logic of our Mishnah. It defies the logic of our Mishnah, and it goes against the principle that our Mishnah lays out. Says the Gemara, Kala Brachas, all the Brachas that we recite, all the mitzvahs that we do, Afal Pisha Yatza Motzi, even though I already did it, even though I already read the Megillah, and I now am no longer considered a Mechuyev Bedavar, because I already performed my obligation, still, says the Gemara, we have a rule that you're allowed to go ahead and do it again on behalf of somebody else. Chutz, except we have some exceptions. What are the exceptions? Except for Birchas HaLechem and Birchas HaYayin. Except for a Birchas HaNenen. If somebody has to make a bracha on a food item, then you cannot do that for somebody else if you don't have to make the bracha as well for yourself. So let's say we're all making a bracha on bread. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But the Gemara says, barring these two exceptions to the rule, we would generally assume that Yatza Motzi, that even if a person already performed the mitzvah, and it would seem at face value that they're no longer obligated because you already did it, still you're allowed to go ahead and perform the mitzvah for somebody else again. So the Rishonim are all bothered. Why is that the case? Why should that be true? It goes against the principle that the Mishnah just taught us. So Rashi and the Ran and all the other Rishonim explain the reason why is very simple. Because Rashi says, Sha'arei kol Yisrael arevim zeba zela mitzvahs. Since we have this principle that kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh, that's not just a nice fluffy idea. It doesn't just mean, oh, we're all friends and kol Yisrael chaverim and everyone loves each other. We wish. But it also means something more than that. It also means that I have a moral obligation, an ethical obligation to make sure that not only do I do the mitzvahs, I have to make sure that you do the mitzvah as well. And therefore, says Rashi, as long as there's someone else in the world that has not yet performed their mitzvah, it means I have not yet performed my mitzvah either. Which is an amazing statement. Meaning I could be the biggest Yerei Shamayim in the world, I make sure to perform every mitzvah in the world, but there's something deficient in my performance of the mitzvah if there's somebody that was able to perform it and I didn't help them do it. Right? If there's somebody else that could perform a mitzvah and has not yet done it, and I would be in a position to help that person to do it, we consider it as if I have not yet performed my mitzvah because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. An amazing principle that we learn out of Halacha L'maisa from here. That's the way Rashi explains it. And therefore, says Rashi, since this is the understanding of our Mishnah, since this is the understanding of the Gemara, that the whole reason why Yatza Motzi works, the whole reason why I can go ahead and lay in the Megillah again for somebody else after I already did it, I should now technically be considered somebody who's Eina Mechuyev Bedavar, says Rashi, no, since Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, well, based on that understanding, based on that logic, Rashi explains why the next word in the Gemara is, except for Birchas HaNenen, when it comes to making a bracha on the bread. You cannot say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. You cannot say, well, I'm allowed to make the bracha for you, even though I don't have to. Why? Because I have an obligation to help you out, because Rashi says, Lo lishanei v'lo livrich. Don't eat the bread, and then you won't have to make the bracha. So you can't say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh is going to extend to a birchas hananin as well. You decide you want to drink some Coca-Cola. That's your problem. You can't say, I'm obligated to make sure you make a bracha. Don't have the Coke, and then don't make the bracha. But when you have a mitzvah like shofar, when you have a mitzvah like lulav, when you have a mitzvah like any other mitzvah that we perform, Chanukah and everything else that we do, over there we all have an obligation, and therefore, as long as you have not performed your obligation, as long as you still have not fulfilled the mitzvah, we assume that I'm still considered to be a mechuyav b'davar, and that's why I'm able to do the mitzvah again on behalf of you. Yeah?
If you haven't helped them do it, are you deficient in your bracha, or is it a deficiency in our bracha? That you're deficient in the mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim.
So you're missing out on the mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, but the way Rashi explains it, the way the Ran says it, he says it even clearer, but I don't have the Lashon of the Ran, I forgot to put it on here. The Ran's terminology is, it's like my mitzvah personally is deficient. Like I haven't fulfilled my mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, which is very surprising. But it gives you a little glimpse of what it means. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh doesn't just mean we should be nice to each other. It sounds from the Ran, not that it undoes. What I did. But it sounds like it's not a mitzvah b'shleimusa. It's not totally complete until I make sure that I have everybody that's possible to perform the mitzvah do it as well. Yeah?
Does that mean l'chatchila, not just to the end? In other words, if there is someone else who hasn't performed the mitzvah, would it be better that they do it, or does it matter? Because Kol Yisrael Arevim
Zebazeh. Doesn't make a difference. Yeah?
If I already did the mitzvah, and let's say it's a daraisa in the mitzvah, and I'm not saying daraisa. Now, if I go home, or whatever, let's say kiddush, I'm not sure if it's a kiddush.
Right.
But my wife is mechuyav daraisa. I'm no longer a daraisa. Would you still say arbis in a case like that?
So you threw it a monkey wrench a little bit without realizing it. When you said about your wife, well, that's a shayla. Are women considered part of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh? Doesn't mean they're not part of Kol Yisrael. It just means we assume that women have many other obligations. So what? They have to go run around their whole lives and make sure everybody else does the mitzvah. They have enough to worry about on their heads. They're taking care of everything else. A million and one other things for the family. So therefore, they don't have an obligation to take care of everybody else. So that's why when it comes to women, I wasn't going to talk about that this week. So let's say there's another man. Yeah. So let's see. Let's get into that. We're going to get into the permutations if we have time. If not, we'll continue next week. What about Chanukah? Should I assume most people are here to Wednesday night of Chanukah? Right? Any reason why not? So I assume the next couple of weeks we'll have a shiur like regular. Good. So Rashi says, how do you explain why this Gemara is different? How do you explain why Birchas Hanenin might not fit into Yatzah Motzi? Rashi says, very simple. Lo lishani v'lo livarech. Don't have the drink of water, don't have the drink of Coke, and then you won't have to make the bracha. And therefore you can't say, oh, Kolzman, you didn't make the bracha. It's considered like I'm deficient. What do you mean I'm deficient? You didn't have to do the mitzvah. But, says Rashi, when it comes to a mitzvah that we're obligated to do, then we assume that all the while you have not performed the mitzvah yet, we assume that not only are you deficient, but I'm also deficient, therefore I'm considered to be still a mechuyav bedavar. Now, let's move on a little bit further. Let's move on a little bit further by taking, for example, what would you say about Shechiyanu? The bracha of Shechiyanu. How does that fit into this equation? Would you say Shechiyanu is something that I'm obligated to make, like the bracha on the lulav, like the bracha on the shofar, like the mikra megillah and everything else? Or would you say the bracha of Shechiyanu is like a birchas hananin?
It's not a matzir.
Hmm?
What kind of Shechiyanu is a
So I would have said like you. Shechiyanu is very simple. Shechiyanu is like a bracha, like the bracha on mikra megillah, like the bracha on shofar. Why should it be any different? No? Why not? Why not? So why is that? How come if I lay in the Megillah once, I can lay in it again with a bracha? But you're saying when I make Shechiyanu once, I can't go ahead and do Shechiyanu again. So let's see, Rav Asher Weiss just sums it all up very nicely. It's both in his Sefer on Parshas Nitzavim, and it's also in the Tshuvas and Chelek Aleph. So he has here, Kasav HaChasam Sofer B'Tshuvas. So he quotes something very surprising from the Chasam Sofer. The Shad Samekadish B'Beis HaKnes B'Leil HaChag, if you are the lucky winner to be the Chazan, or the unlucky winner to be the Chazan on the night of Yom Tov, and you're in a shul where they make kiddush in the shul on the first night of Yontif, yechaven shelo latzeis bebrechas hazman. When you go ahead and make the kiddush and shul on behalf of all the guests or whoever's there, you should have in mind that you don't want to be yotze with the shechayanu that you're going to make over the kiddush and shul.
But if you're not yotze, can you be motzi everybody else?
Aha. Uh-huh. If you yourself don't want to be yotze now, can you be motzi acher? Well, I'm still considered a mechuyev bedaver. I'm a mechuyev bedaver, so I think
but
so.
But you're not really doing it. I mean, if you're saying I'm not yotze.
Uh-huh. So, really so it. let me ask you the following question. There's a story, a very famous story about the Beis Halevi. Story is that the Beis Halevi, you know, the practice is in most communities that the rabbi, the shul, is the one who counts svira. And anybody who missed a day of svira usually has in mind that they want to be yotze with the rabbi, with the chazan, whoever it might be. So the story was that in Brisk, that was the practice, that the rabbi also was the one who counted svira. So the story goes that the Beis Halevi one night forgot to count svira. How that happened, I don't know. So he forgot to count svira, and then he came to shul the next night. He realized he's going to be so embarrassed. He has to go and tell everybody, announce to the world, that he was the one who mistakenly forgot to count svira. So he went to the chazan the next night, and he said, I'm going to count svira, and I'm going to have in mind for you, you don't count, I'm going to have in mind for you to be mekayim your mitzvah for you. Ah, so does that work? That's your question. He's not really able to count with a bracha anymore because he's out. But the question was, to save his own skin, he wanted to make sure, he doesn't want to announce to the whole world that he forgot to count the night before, and now he's going to have to count without a bracha. So he decides, he went over to one person, and he said, even though I myself am not supposed to be making a bracha now, maybe I'm allowed to go ahead and make the bracha for you, and that will be good enough. That's exactly your question. So maybe we'll talk about that next week. It's a very important question, and it ties into, there was a very unfortunate shaila that I got a couple of months ago, and then just last week, somebody asked the very same shaila. And the shaila was, I sent it to Rav Asher Weiss, maybe we'll learn through his response that he sent me. It's a really, really interesting question. And I think it comes up more often than we think. There was a person who unfortunately has a mother who has dementia. And she's in a nursing home somewhere in Queens, I don't know exactly where. And he lives in Queens. So this person wanted to know the following. He goes to work every day of the week. He goes to work on Friday as well. On his way home on Friday from work, he likes to stop by his mother. He stops by very often, but he likes to stop by his mother on Erev Shabbos to say good Shabbos. He's not going to be with her for Shabbos, but he goes on the way. And his mother has dementia. She doesn't really understand, but he wants her to feel Shabbos. So he puts out a tablecloth and he puts some food out there and he wants her to feel some kind of Shabbos. He lights candles there. So he wanted to know that he wants to make Kiddush for her. She's not in a position where she can make Kiddush. He wants to make Kiddush for her, but then he has to drive home because he doesn't live close to the nursing home. So am I able to make Kiddush for my mother,
but not for myself?
Now, it's similar to your question, but here it's worse, because maybe I'm not a Mechuyev Bedaver, because for me, it's weekday. Now, you're adding into the equation, maybe she's not a Mechuyev Bedaver either. Maybe you shouldn't be making the bracha at all. So we'll talk about all this, but I think it's all connected to your point. We'll get to it. It's a very important shaila. Somebody asked it a few months ago, and then somebody in the shul asked it again this week. It's a very important question. So here, the Chasam Sofer wants to know, and he says that when you have a Shliach Tzibur on the night of Yom Tov, who has the opportunity to make Kiddush after davening in Shul, says the Chasam Sofer, let's read it together, Shelo Latzeis Berechas Hazman, you should have in mind, I don't want to perform my mitzvah of saying Shechiyanu when I say it in Shul. Why? Dim Yatza Yudei Chavasa, because if I already perform the mitzvah of Shechiyanu in Shul, Shuv Lo Yuchal Levarech Lehotzei B'nei Beiso, I won't be able to go home and say it during the Kiddush again. Why? De birchas hazman havi birchas hanenin, v'lo aminim be'yotza motzi. What does that mean? So he says the Chasam Sofer. Our Gemara says the only time you can do a mitzvah again after you've already performed it is when you have a mitzvah like Megillah, like Shofar, like all these different things. But he says when you have a Shechiyanu, Shechiyanu is like a birchas hanenin. That's like a bracha on the drink of soda. And therefore, you don't have a right to go ahead and make the bracha again once you've already performed your mitzvah of saying the Shechiyan. So Rav Asher Weiss finds this very troubling on three counts. Number one, he says, Halo Pashut, isn't it obvious to everyone? To birchas hazman, birchas hashvachi, v'la birchas hanenin. This is not similar to making a bracha on the drink. What is the connection at all? And then he continues. Number Beis, Afen birchas hanenin he. Even if you want to argue somehow that it is like a birchas hanenin, mikal makum, Kivin the Chovahi. You're obligated to say it. It's not like Rashi's whole reason why a Berchas Hanenin and you cannot say Yatzamotzi is because Lo l'shani v'lo l'varech. Don't drink the soda, and then you want to have to make the bracha. So you can't say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh on something you don't have to do. But here the Shechiyonim is something I do have to do. So how can you come along and tell me, oh, it's a birchas anenin, and therefore you don't have a right to go ahead and make it for somebody else. Let's say, take for example, let's say you have on Friday night, you have the Kiddush. So let's say I was the chazan to make Kiddush in shul. Now I want to go ahead at home and make Kiddush not for my daughters, I want to make Kiddush for all my sons, who are on the same level of obligation as I am, right? So am I allowed to go ahead and make the Kiddush again, even though I made the Kiddush in shul already? What would you say? Why? That's a birchas anenin. Bar Pi Agafen. Kiddush is part of Bar Pi Agafen as well. Oh, so I have a mitzvah to say Kiddush. So the answer is yes, it's a birchas anenin, but the bottom line is it's a birchas anenin that I'm obligated to make. This is not the same as every other birchas anenin that I make during the week. So therefore I would say Yatzah Motzi would apply to the Kiddush because on Friday night I'm obligated to make Kiddush. That's the same over here. Even if you want to argue, however the Chasam Sofer came up with this, but even if you want to argue that Shechiyanu in fact is a bracha like a birchas anenin, but the bottom line is it's a bracha that I'm obligated to make. It's not optional. So if it's something that's not optional but rather it's obligatory, I would assume in a case like that we have the opportunity to say Yatzah Motzi. Okay. So therefore? No. So what do you mean? I only have an obligation. So carry that logic over to Megillah. I only have an obligation once a year to lay in the Megillah. Once I did it, I'm not obligated anymore. But yet we say, so long as somebody else hasn't done it yet. So let's say during the day already. I made the bracha during the day. I'm finished my mitzvah. I'm done. Now I come home. I see somebody hasn't laid in the Megillah yet. Same thing? Same thing, and yet the Chasam Sofer argues here that for some reason we don't say Yatzah Motzi there. And number three, Rav Asher Weiss argues, Ach b'yoser yesh l'tmoa, didivrei adoneinu ha-Chasam Sofer nistarim l'chor mishnei se'ifim mifurashim m'shulchan aruch. He says the Chasam Sofer seems to go against the explicit words, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which is, d'besimin tavkuf pehei l'gabi tkiyas shofer. When we come to the mitzvah of tkiyas shofer, the Rama writes, l'hedya, Tim kvar yatzah ba'atzmo, even if you have already performed the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar on your own, yachal levarech es kol ha-brachas lahotzi acherim. One would be allowed to go ahead and make the bracha once again for another person, which would include the bracha of Shechiyanu. V'chein hu b'simen tafri sadi beiz legam Megillah. So too by Hilchos Purim and by Mikra Megillah, ti yachal levarech lahotzi acherim. Even though I already performed my mitzvah, I'm allowed to go ahead and lay in the Megillah for somebody else, and I'm allowed to make the bracha of Shechiyanu on their behalf. V'gam b'ilchus Chanukah, and the same applies to Ilchus Chanukah, where we find, d'misha birich birchas hazman al halacha b'ner Chanukah b'beis HaKnesses. If I was the one who was the chazan in the shul, and I'm the one who lit the neiros Chanukah in the shul, and I recited Shechiyanu, I can come home again and say the Shechiyanu for my family. So the Chasam Sofer is against the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. U'pele shekoza nela me'enei HaChasam Sofer. How can it be the Chasam Sofer missed three psakim in the Shulchan Aruch? It can't be. So he doesn't understand what's happening here with the Chasam Sofer, and therefore he says there's something very strange. There must be something missing. Ve'ein lomar, don't say shadaita lachalek ben birchas hazman shel mitzvah shabahem yachal levarich hotzi achay lebracha alachag. Don't tell me that there's a distinction. You can draw a distinction between the times when you have to make a Shechiyanu on the Mikra Megillah and the Tkiyas Shofar, as opposed to the times when you have to make it on the Yom Tov itself, right? Let's say on the night of Yom Tov, we make a Shechiyanu in Kiddush, not because we're doing a mitzvah, but rather because it's the Yom Tov that's obligating us to say the Shechiyanu. Which, by the way, my parents just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, so my father told me that when they got married, I don't know, when I got married, I wasn't thinking about such things, but when he got married, he did. So he said he made a deal with my mother, a few things. I don't know what the other issues were, but one of the issues that they were dealing with was, here's what was bothering him. When are you going to recite the Shechiyanu on the night of Yom Tov? This is one of the things that bothered my father before he got married. I didn't know it was an issue before I got married. So my father was concerned, when are you going to recite the Shechiyanu? So I think most women have the practice that they say Shechiyanu when they light the candles, because they're ushering in the Yom Tov. So my father told my mother before they got married, this is only on condition, we're getting married on condition that you're going to follow the practice that we don't recite the Shechiyanu when you light the candles, but rather, you listen to the Shechiyanu in the middle of the Kiddush. Why? Because people mistakenly think, You're not reciting a Shehecheyanu on Yom Tov because you're lighting the candles. It has nothing to do with the act of the mitzvah that you're doing. The reason you're reciting the Shehecheyanu on Yom Tov is because today's Yom Tov, because we're very excited. The Yom Tov is what obligates me to say Shehecheyanu. Okay, so therefore what? So what's wrong if a woman says Shehecheyanu when she ushers in Yom Tov when she lights the candles? Oh, so there's two problems. Number one, the problem is if she's going to answer Amen later when her husband makes the Kiddush, and she's going to answer Amen when she's not supposed to because she already heard the Shehecheyanu or she said the Shehecheyanu earlier, now she's going to answer Amen, then she's going to want to drink from the Kiddush. That's a hefsek in the middle of the Kiddush, and you're not allowed to do that. That's problem number one. But problem number two is that the Gemara says in Erevin that Shehecheyanu really Omra Afila B'Shuk. The Gemara says you're allowed to say Shehecheyanu anytime on Yom Tov, whenever you want. Why? Because the Yom Tov is what obligates me to say Shehecheyanu. However, we assume you should do it a la kos. You're supposed to elevate the bracha. Any bracha that you say with a cup of wine, we assume, now elevates the bracha. This is why we use a cup of wine by a bris. What does a bris have to do with a cup of wine? Why? What are you doing here? So, some say it's because of simcha or whatever, but the real answer is because we want to elevate the whole experience of a bris. So we say the bracha on a cup of wine, that elevates the whole thing. So too over here, the Shehecheyanu is going to be an elevated bracha if you say it on a cup of wine. And therefore, why should the woman want to lose out? Why should she want to lose out and say the Shehecheyanu when she's lighting the candles on her own before Yom Tov instead of having the intensified Shehecheyanu, which is going to be enhanced by the cup of wine that we're going to do during the Kiddush? So that was the deal my father made with my mother 50 years ago. I think she's still sticking to it. At least she says she does. I don't know what she really does, but anyway.
Why is the minhag
olam the opposite? So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Drisha writes in the name of his mother. I'm quoting my mother also. I think the Drisha writes in the name of his mother that also his mother was very upset and she went around in her community and told everybody it was a big mistake and the minig doesn't make sense and it's minig nashim. The women started it and it wasn't based on anything. It was really a mistake. The women started it for good reason. They were very excited about the fact that it's Yom Tov and they said, well, now we're the first ones to usher in Yom Tov before our husbands even went to shul. We may as well say Shehecheyanu now. But perhaps they didn't realize, I think they say, perhaps the women didn't realize that there was a downside to it. Number one, that might be a hefsek later on in the Kiddush. Number two, about the fact that you're missing out the enhancement of the bracha, which is with the cup of wine that you can use later on by the Kiddush as you recite the Shehecheyanu over the cup of wine. So anyway, over here, that's where Rav Asher Weiss argues. When you say the Shehecheyanu on the Yom Tov, so maybe you'll argue that the only time the Chasam Sofer said this is when you're saying the Shehecheyanu on the Yom Tov and not when you're saying the Shehecheyanu on the Mitzvah. Why should you draw such a distinction? He says he doesn't understand. Why would we say such a thing? And not only that, he says that the Rambam himself writes, V'ab shekasav ha-Rambam, del osa mitzvah la'acherim enem b'varach Shehecheyanu. He says, the Rambam writes that if you perform a mitzvah for somebody else, you don't recite a Shehecheyanu, which seems to indicate what? Like the Chasam Sofer, because you already said the Shehecheyanu. We're not talking about a case where you already said the Shehecheyanu, let's say you lay in the Megillah in Shul, and now you want to go lay in the Megillah for somebody else at home. That's not what the Rambam's talking about. Rather, the Rambam's saying, it's talking about a case where I'm performing a mitzvah for you, and you're not there. Let's say, for example, I lit Hanukkah candles in my house. Now there's a din, Neri Shebeso. So I go ahead and I light in your house, but you're not home, you're still at work. So there the Rambam says you shouldn't go ahead and say a Shehecheyanu again because you're doing it shelo b'fneihem. Person's not there. The only time you recite a Shehecheyanu for somebody else is if they're going to hear it, if they're going to answer Amen. But otherwise, there's no reason to say the Shehecheyanu again. So that's what the Rambam says. And therefore you continue on, Aval Pashud, Sheyachal Ahotzi Acher Mibirchas Hazman. Rav Asher Weiss argues that it's simple, it's obvious in the Lashon HaRambam as well, that you can recite a Shehecheyanu on behalf of somebody else as well. It's not only restricted to a bracha on a mitzvah. It goes well above and beyond that as well. It goes to the Shehecheyanu as well. And we don't assume that a Shehecheyanu is synonymous to a birchas hananim because Shehecheyanu is something that you're obligated to say. Once you're obligated to say it, we assume that now. Once you're obligated to say it, we assume that now you have the opportunity to say it on behalf of somebody else as well. I see we're almost out of time, so let's just skip a little bit. We don't have enough time to do what I really wanted to do tonight. But let's just point out one very important issue, and that is that there's a surprising, just have to find it in my notes here, there's a surprising comment of the Turi Evan. Very unusual opinion of the Turi Evan. Turi Evan points out that he believes, in his opinion, the only time we could say Yatza Motzi, the only time we could say that you have the opportunity to go ahead and recite the bracha on behalf of someone else, even though you already did it, to do the mitzvah on behalf of someone else, even though you already did it, that's only in a case where you're dealing with a mitzvah derabbanan. For example, today is Rosh Chodesh, and I have a rabbinic obligation on Rosh Chodesh to recite Hallel. It's not a biblical obligation. I have a rabbinic obligation to say Hallel today. On Yom Tov, I have an obligation, perhaps a higher level, but on Rosh Chodesh, it's only rabbinic. That's why we only say Chatzi Hallel, it's a minug. So now, let's say I come home, and somebody in the family has not yet said Hallel, and they don't know how to say the words. They don't know how to recite the words. So can I go ahead and recite the Hallel for them? Of course, Yatza Motzi, why not? You can say it with the bracha, with everything. Says the Turi Yevin, that only applies when we're talking about mitzvahs derabbanan, like Hallel, like the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. You already made the brachas in shul, you already did the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. You can go ahead and do the mitzvah again for somebody else, even though it means you're going to make the bracha again. It only applies to mitzvahs derabbanan. However, he says, let's say you have an example like Kiddush on Shabbos, which is a mitzvah d'araisa. So says, argues the Turi Yevin, we don't apply the principle of Yatza Motzi to a mitzvah d'araisa. It only applies to a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So therefore, we're up the creek. Because according to the Turi Yevin, if I blew the shofar, if you hear from Marv, Marv is in the main shul next door. So if you made Kiddush already, let's say you were the chazan Friday night, you made the Kiddush in shul, now you want to come home and make Kiddush for everybody else. What's the reason why we're allowed to? Because Yatza Motzi. But yet over here, the Turi Yevin argues, no, you can't apply Yatza Motzi there. Why? Because it's a mitzvah d'araisa. Or you blew the shofar in the shul. Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah d'araisa. Says the Turi Yevin, you don't have a right to go ahead and make the brachas again for somebody else, because when it comes to a mitzvah d'araisa, you don't have the option of doing it again for somebody else. That's what he argues. And he wants to prove it from a Rashi. He wants to prove it from Rashi in our sugya. What does Rashi say here? Rashi writes in our Gemara, that you have the opportunity to say Yatza Motzi by all these mitzvahs, except for what? Except for the Birchas HaLechem and the Birchas HaYayin. Except for the times that we're talking about somebody who's making a Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz or a Birchas HaYayin. Where's the Rashi that I'm looking for? Look at the other side of the Amud. Amud Beis, Chavtes Amud Beis. Rashi says, what is the example of Birchas HaLechem? Shel Achilas Matzah Shemavarchin Lefnei Hamotzi. The example Rashi gives is the Birchas HaLechem that you make on the Matzah, and Birchas HaYayin is Shemavarchin Lefnei HaKiddush. Which Birchas HaYayin is that? Rashi says, Al Achilas Matzah U'Mekadesh Yisrael.
Rashi seems to contradict himself.
Why?
The foreigner talks about Birchas HaNed. The specific examples.
Right.
Puts in Birchas HaLechem HaYayin, he says Birchas HaNed, because he doesn't have
a Chiyuv.
But the examples he gives later are derisive.
So one second. So here Rashi says a case of Mekadesh Yisrael. What's Mekadesh Yisrael? Kiddush on Yom Tov. Right? Kaddish Yisrael v'azmanim, that's Kiddush on Yom Tov. So Rashi says that's the example of where what? That's the example where you say you can't be motzi achir. I'm mixing it up, sorry. Let's read the Gemara. Alpha Pisha Yatza Motzi. By all these mitzvahs we say Yatza Motzi. Chutz mi Birchas Alechem Birchas Hayayin. Shem lo Yatza Motzi. V'im Yatza Eina Motzi. Those are the two exceptions. That's Birchas Alechem. I made a mistake. Vayi Rabba. Ask Rabba the following question. Birchas Alechem Shal Matzah. Birchas Hayayin Shal Kiddush Hayom Mahu. What would you say when we're talking about a Birchas Alechem, which is an obligatory mitzvah? It's an obligatory bracha. You have to make the Birchas Hayayin. You have to make a Bori Priya Gafen on the Kiddush. You have to make Marav is next door. You have to make a Baruch Priya Gafen, and you have to make a Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Ask Rashi. Ask the Gemara, what about that? Do you say Yatza Motzi in a case like that? So the Gemara answers, in a case like that we say, Kivan Dechovahu Mapik, would you say that since you're obligated to make the Kiddush, and you're obligated to make the Hamotzi, therefore you're able to say Yatza Motzi, O Dilma, Brachalav Chovahi. So that's the Gemara's question. So Rashi goes out of his way. What is the example Rashi gives? Rashi says, when would you say Yatza Motzi? By Bori Priya Gafen, Rashi says, for example, the Kiddush on Yom Tov. Kiddush on Yom Tov. Kiddush on Yom Tov is only a few times a year. Why don't you give the obvious example, which would have been Kiddush on Shabbos. What does Rashi give a strange case? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. What is he coming up with such a case for? Why not say the simple, obvious case, which is, every Friday night, a person comes home from shul, and you already made Kiddush in shul, and now you want to come home and say it again. Mekadesh Shabbos. Says the Turi Yevani, you know why? Because Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah d'araisa. And by a mitzvah d'araisa, we don't apply the principle of Yatzah Motzi. Kiddush on Yom Tov is only midrabbanan. Since Kiddush on Yom Tov is only midrabbanan, says the Turi Yevani, that's why Rashi chooses the case when the Gemara is talking about where Yatzah Motzi would work by Kiddush, by Birchas Nenin, that's only on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov, the Kiddush is only midrabbanan. But the Turi Yevani argues when it comes to a mitzvah d'araisa, we wouldn't say such a thing. Again, the Turi Yevani has a whole bunch of proofs to say that this is the case. We obviously don't assume this way. He's absolutely not accepted la halacha at all, and that's why we're lucky. That's why when it comes to tkiyas shofar, even though it's d'araisa on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we have the right to go ahead and do it again, because Yatzah Motzi applies even by a mitzvah d'araisa. And that's why by Mikra Megillah, obviously Mikra Megillah is d'rabbanan and Hallel is d'rabbanan, but let's say you have tkiyas shofar and you have Kiddush on Friday night, that's a mitzvah d'araisa, yet you're allowed to go ahead and do it again, because Yatzah Motzi, we assume, applies to a mitzvah d'araisa as well. We do not accept the opinion of the Turi Yevani. Thankfully, we're lucky that we don't accept it, because this gets us out of a lot of problems. So, Mirtz Hashem, next week, we will continue. A whole lot more to talk about here, and very interesting halacha l'maaseh issues, but Mirtz Hashem will continue here next week.